Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 1, observing the armies, text number 13. Tathak sankhasavirya-sya panavanaka gomaka sahasaibhyavyahanyanta. The Shabda Sumalo Bhavat Tata thereafter Shanka Kangshells Cha also Virya large drums Cha and Panava Anaka small drums and kettle drums. Gomukha, horns. Sahasa, all of a sudden. Eva, certainly. Abhyahanyata, was simultaneously sounded. Saha, that. Shabda, combined sound. Tumala, tumultuous, abhavat, became. Translation. After that, the conch shells, drums, bugles, trumpets, and horns were all suddenly sounded, and the combined sound was tumultuous. Any questions? You understood the verse. Tata shankha tatak svaitera yaryukte mahati syandane sito madhava pandava shaiva divyao sankhyo pratamotu. On the other side, both Lord Krishna and Arjuna, stationed on a great chariot drawn by white horses, sounded their transcendental conch shells. Purport, in contrast with the conch shell blown by Bhishma Dev, the conch shells in the hands of Krishna and Arjuna are described as transcendental. The sounding of the transcendental conch shells indicated that there was no hope of victory for the other side, because Krishna was on the side of the Pandavas. Jayastu Pandavan Panduputranam Yesham Pakshe Janardana. Victory is always with persons like the sons of Pandu, because Lord Krishna is associated with him. And whenever and wherever the Lord is present, the goddess of fortune is also there, because the goddess of fortune never lives alone without her husband. Therefore, victory and fortune were awaiting Arjuna, as indicated by the transcendental sound produced by the conch shell of Vishnu, or Lord Krishna. Besides that, the chariot on which both the friends were seated had been donated by fire, by Agni, the fire god, to Arjuna. And this indicated that this chariot was capable of conquering all sides, wherever it was drawn over the three worlds. So far, everything's going okay. Krishna is sounding his conch shell. Arjuna is sounding his conch shell. And the sound is transcendental. So transcendental means that it's under the spiritual energy. It's not under the material energy. Things that are under the spiritual energy are eternal. That's why the Bhagavad Gita can be read again and again and again, because it's under the spiritual energy. Because Krishna is present in the Bhagavad Gita, and Krishna's philosophy is present in the Bhagavad Gita. And he's arranged the battlefield, Kurukshetra, to fulfill the purpose of installing Yudhisthira Maharaj as the king, as the emperor, but also with the idea that this is an opportunity to speak the Bhagavad Gita. And if we can remember the Bhagavad Gita, then we become transcendental too. Or if we can just, as I said the other day, if we can just imagine what the sound of Krishna's conch shell would be like, if we see Krishna seated on the chariot with Arjuna, and we listen to the conch shell, then our life is perfect. That's why you're hearing the sound of a conch shell. Prabhupada gives the example of there's one Brahmin in South India, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was touring South India, and there was one Brahmin who was illiterate. Literate meant, probably meant he didn't know Sanskrit that well. But of course that was the sign of literacy, that you could actually read the Bhagavad, you could read Sanskrit well. In any case, he was so-called illiterate, and he'd try to read the Bhagavad Gita every day, and people would laugh at him because they could understand he couldn't read very well. So Lord Chaitanya came and asked him, the Brahmin, he said, "My dear Brahmin, what are you doing?" So the Brahmin understood that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not trying to criticize him or mock him. So he said, "My spiritual master, he asked me that every day I should read the Bhagavad Gita. So in order to follow his instruction, I'm doing that. But unfortunately, I'm illiterate, so I can't read very well." But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "But I see you're crying. So what are you doing? Why are you crying if you can't read the Bhagavad Gita?" So he said, "Well, every time I pick up the Bhagavad Gita and open it up, I see Krishna on the chariot of with Arjuna. And Krishna is so kind that although he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he's acting as a simple chariot driver for his dear friend Arjuna. So when I think about that, I begin to cry." So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced him and said, "You actually have understood the Bhagavad Gita. You've actually understood what it's all about." So that's victory. That's if we're at the end with Arjuna, Krishna asks Arjuna, "Kaschere tasutam partha tvaya ka grana chetasa kachiragana samoha pranataste dhananjaya." Have you listened with your mind of perfect attention, and is your illusion now dispelled? So the whole idea of Bhagavad Gita, to become victorious over the material energy, because when Dasarath, when Vishwamrita came, Muni came to take Lakshman and the Lord Ramachandra in order to protect his sacrifice from the Rakshasas. When Dasarath met Vishwamrita Muni, the first thing he asked him, he said, "How is your victory over birth and death?" So that's actually victory. If we are victorious over birth and death, we've actually achieved the greatest victory. What could be a greater victory than that? One may win a whole universe, but that's only temporary. But if one achieves victory over birth and death, then that victory is eternal. There's nothing more to worry about. Therefore, janma mrityu jara vyadi dukkha dosha nudarshana. One of the aspects of knowledge is understanding the misery of birth, death, old age, and disease, without which, Prabhupada said, there's no impetus to try to make progress in spiritual life. If someone gave a class just on death, everyone would walk away morose. What is he talking about? Why doesn't he say something positive? But actually, it's the miseries of material life that impel us, inspire us, to take shelter of spiritual life. So how can they be bad if they're impelling us towards eternity, if we understand them properly? Similarly, Krishna is sounding his transcendental conch shell, which means that at least someone's going to be, everyone on the battlefield got benefited by Krishna's presence, so that's why, in some respect, they were victorious. Not completely, because only the Pandavas got and I don't know if they're the only ones who got complete victory, but they certainly got the greatest advantage, having Arjuna having Krishna on his chariot, and therefore spending the whole time with him. 18 days, 24 hours a day with Krishna. It's quite an opportunity. Not only that, but he had got personal instruction from Krishna. And at the end, he said, "Nashto moha smritir labdva tat prasada maya chuta stitosmi gata sandeha karishe vachanam dava." Now, I've actually listened with perfect attention. And that's our whole That's how we achieve victory also, by simply learning how to listen with attention, as if our life depended upon it, our spiritual life depended on it. So, the more one can concentrate one's mind upon Krishna and give one's love to Krishna, the more one becomes victorious. That's why activities like Bhakti Sushruta are so nice, because they force one to concentrate the mind. Otherwise, one can't do anything. One will simply watch people walking by. That would be the whole day. But if one actually tries to approach people and to engage them in Krishna's service, it requires attention to the super soul, sensitive to what he wants us to say. Otherwise, people are going by so quickly, and the exchange is so quick, you make one mistake, the person won't take the book. So one has to be very attentive and judge people immediately and try to figure out how to engage them. And then if one is engaging them, of course the false ego may take over and say, wow, I'm so amazing. I did such amazing things. It's like Arjuna thinking, I killed all these people, I didn't even need Krishna. He just happened to drive my chariot, that's all. I don't even need God, he's just an ordinary chariot driver. I'm the one who did everything. Now it's also an opportunity to concentrate the mind upon Krishna and see how he's acting in so many wonderful ways. How one can actually, by just taking shelter of Krishna, become empowered as an instrument, and Krishna is quite impressive. And the instrument of Krishna is also quite impressive. And that's why people take books. Not because of our great prowess, our great intellect. They take books because Krishna empowers us to become an instrument. And therefore, people buy the book not for what's in the book, because they have no idea. They buy the book because they're impressed by Krishna's instrument, by Krishna empowering someone. They buy the devotee, they don't buy the book. Generally speaking. Rarely you find anyone even knows what we're talking about. Or even cares what we're talking about. They're just impressed by the person, that's all. I remember one time I was distributing books in Los Angeles in a place, Hollywood Boulevard. And in Hollywood Boulevard, they have these movie theaters, these huge movie theaters, and people line up. You've been there?
No, but I'm watching from TV.
And people line up. There's like hundreds of people lining up to see a movie, and lines are everywhere. So I was trying to do the lines. It was really hard because people were really distracted. But one person came with a bucket. And he was like going, rah, rah, rah. He was making all these different noises and going up and down. And people were actually, they couldn't ignore him. So they were impressed. And as soon as they started to concentrate on all the crazy things he was doing, they're just throwing money into his bucket. Because they finally were able to concentrate their minds upon something. So I guess they're impressed by it, whatever crazy thing he was doing. So, if we can concentrate our minds, or get other people to concentrate their minds, because that's actually why people give, because actually they wind up in some kind of transcendental world for a moment with a devotee, because his mind is concentrated on the service and the spiritual atmosphere is created, and then they become concentrated too, and they feel a different world, so they connect it. You know, and therefore they want to contribute because of the spiritual atmosphere. And they don't know what they're doing, of course, but they just do it. Most of them do it because they just feel good for a second. That's all you want to do, is get people to feel good. Excuse me, sir, where are you from? I'm from Italy. Oh, Italy! I met so many nice people from Italy. Really? Really, what part of Italy? Wow, that's a fantastic place. Do you have any kids? Wow, you got a good family there. What kind of work do you do? I do so. Are you good at it? Yeah. Well, great. You'll really like this book. It perfectly matches your dress or something. We don't sell them. Just give a donation. You know. Okay, no worries. They just feel good. So they, if they eat a candy bar and they feel good, they pay for it. So if you make them feel good, they'll pay for it. But this is transcendental. In other words, they feel good spiritually, and therefore they engage in some kind of spiritual reciprocation. Similarly, Krishna is sounding the transcendental conch shell. Put everyone into transcendence for a moment, something in a different space. And therefore, anyone who participated in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, with Krishna there, they were actually going to win. That is, that either they went to the heavenly planets, or some of them may emerge in Brahman, or maybe some of them went back to the spiritual world. And that way everyone was benefited. They were purified. Otherwise, Bhishma, Dev, Duryodhana, they didn't purify anyone. Of course, anyone who fights in a religious war, they get benefited. They may get purified to go to the heavenly planets, whatever. I mean, to fight in a war, you have to be a little, and in the right spirit, the treacherous spirit, you have to be somewhat off the bodily concept of life. Otherwise, they couldn't fight like they did with some enthusiasm and for such long periods of time. It was just like, for them, it was like a game, I guess. And because of their attitude, and because it was, they were fighting as a matter of duty, they'd become elevated. But not in the same way that Krishna and Arjuna were fighting. They were fighting for the absolute truth. And therefore, it sounded, it was transcendental. Their purpose was transcendental. Although Bhishma Dev is a Mahajan, one of the 12 Mahajans, but he was fighting on the side of Duryodhana. Therefore, his sounding of the conch shell is not considered to be transcendental. It's because the purpose was mundane. Oh, that's how Krishna arranged it. In any case, this introduction to the Bhagavad Gita, observing the armies, is to show that no matter how clever you are, and how diplomatic you are, and how much you make arrangements, who's ever on your side, even if they win, they lose. Even if they go to the heavenly planets, it's only temporary. They say when you're on the heavenly planets, you're enjoying for very... time goes really quick on the heavenly planets. And in the end, you leave your body, and on the way down, your body is eaten alive by the Rakshasas. It's very painful, leaving the heavenly planets. And then you take birth, come down, you wind up in a grain, and it's eaten by a man, as you're injected into the womb of a woman, you come back as a little baby, screaming. You have to go to school again. You got to learn 1 + 1 = 2. You got to take all kinds of tests. You got to grow up. Go to work for 40 years, 50 years, grow old and die. And the whole thing goes on, perpetually. So you're a loser. You may have won some battle, but then again, you haven't won anything. Just a bunch of earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. You think you've become the conqueror, but it's all illusion. There's no victory whatsoever. Real victory is to get out of illusion into reality again. And that victory is eternal. So that's our choice. Either we take the side of Duryodhana and we fight to conquer, to gain something in the material world, or we take the side of Krishna and Arjuna and we fight to get real victory, become an instrument for Krishna, and help others become instruments of Krishna too. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Yes. Yes.
Hare Krishna. Because you said about this, how what happens when we meet people in Sankirtan, that they get a spiritual experience.
Hopefully they do.
Hopefully. One of the things that happens is that you meet these people, they meet you, they are so positive, so enthusiastic, and then you get their number, and then you text them, and they don't even answer. So how to get them to have this positive experience also when they are at home in Maya?
Oh, that's not a, that's even the devotees who live outside, we don't even what to speak of someone who just got a book, they don't know what's, you know, how to do it. No, not everyone's so pious, not everyone has the past experience in Krishna consciousness that now they're just starting their spiritual life again. Some may be starting from the very beginning, so they may have been very positive one in the association. Just like if you're in the association of a fire, you feel warm. But when you leave the fire, you're back in the normal temperature again. So we have to be patient. We can try, find some people, try to contact them. Some people, if we one or two or some of them, then that's success. And Krishna will arrange it. We think the society is going to go on the way it is. That's what they thought before COVID. Things will get such a way that some of these people, they'll become inspired again to take shelter. Life will be, right now, life is too complicated for most people. As soon as they leave the association of devotees, immediately their complicated life sets in. They have so many obligations, so many pressure, so many things to do, so much lethargy that they got to fight. So, you know, we try the best we can. And if one or two people come, that's victory. To think we're going to save everyone. We can't even save ourselves. As soon as we stop chanting, we're in Maya too. And they never started. Anything else? And we'd like to give commentary on then the conch shells, the bugles, the horns, and everything simultaneously sounded. Anyone would like to speak on that? Okay. At least we should try to hear the sound, the musical sound, much better than listen to rock music. It's spiritual. Hear the sound of the drum, hear the sound of the conch shell. And every time we hear the sound of conch shell, we can be there in the battle of Kurukshetra, here, listening to, remembering Krishna and Arjuna sounding their conch shell. Not just, oh, here's the conch shells. No, actually remember Krishna and Arjuna sounding theirs. And that's victory. Okay. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavad Gita Kidai.